We are wired for stories. It's literally in our DNA.
I want to have an impact, and I want to make this about independent music.
We're the first device to use 12 different jets to floss many areas of your mouth simultaneously.
I'm Richard Gerhart.
And I'm Elizabeth Gerhart. You've just heard some great tidbits from our show. Stay tuned for the rest.
Want to patent your invention? The chance is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart.
I'm Richard Gerhart, founder of Gerhart Law, a firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
I'm Elizabeth Gerhart, not an attorney, but I have a couple of startups and I do the marketing for Gerhart Law.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, everyone, the show that's all about entrepreneurship, small businesses, and the intellectual property that helps them flourish. We have an amazing guest, John Livesay, who really focuses on the sales process and the importance of telling stories. So we're looking forward to a lot of good information from him. And maybe he'll even tell us a few stories.
And then we have Gerard Longo with the Underground Music Collective. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it is very cool. And after him, Ellie Packows with InstaFloss. Oh my gosh, if you ever have trouble flossing your teeth, you want to hear about this.
Well, I can hardly wait. But before we get to our distinguished guests, it's time for IP in the News. And this week on IP in the News, we have a special patent from the Ferrari company, right? So Ferrari is like this company that makes these incredible sports cars. I have to confess, I've always wanted one. I wanted one in the color red. I've always been a big sports car kind of guy. Well, they filed a patent that helps landlubbers like me drive effectively on a race course. So what they have is a software program that integrates with the car and with the driver, and it allows you to drive on a real race course and adjust the car's settings so that you sort of get the maximum thrill out of the ride. So I think this is just an amazing development for car drivers everywhere. I'm sure there's been similar technologies for self-driving cars, but this is the first time that you get to give it to grown-up kids like me and actually go out and drive around a racetrack at, you know, 180 miles an hour. To me, that just sounds like the best thing in the world.
Well, I'm pretty relieved that they are doing this. And it's pretty cool that they have a patent on it, too, because if they can help control the car, you're much less likely to kill yourself.
Right. So, I mean, you want to go fast, but also if you're an inexperienced driver, you are taking your life into your own hands, right? And so maybe this is a little bit of extra safety. But one of the funny things that I saw in the article that discussed this patent was that the idea is to make the experience of driving a Ferrari around a race car track just like a video game. So instead of video games mimicking life, now we are at the point where we have real life trying to mimic video games.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's scary. But what got me too when I was looking at this, Ferrari actually has a lot of patents. And it's all on really, really cool stuff. So
yeah, it's all on high-tech stuff. They're an older company, but they're definitely a technology company. So it's not just the cars. It's not just the beautiful design. It's also the software and the tech that goes into creating this Ferrari experience. So hopefully one of these days I'll get a chance to do that. Father's Day is coming up, by the way.
I think we have to go to Italy.
That's the perfect excuse. So anyway, I'd like to hear what our guests have to say about this innovation. And I'm going to go to John. John, what are your thoughts about this Ferrari software technology thing?
Well, Richard, I think that anytime a brand or a company creates an immersive experience for somebody, that creates the opportunity for them to create a story that they share with other people and they become your brand ambassadors.
Oh, wow. That is so...
That is so true.
That is so... I mean, the market for Ferraris is actually pretty small, right? Mm-hmm. And the people who can afford to buy a Ferrari, I would think, can afford to go and take their Ferrari to a racetrack and zip around with the software, right? And if they can go faster and be better, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll invent fake racing cars next to you or something like that that you see in the heads-up display. So.
Right, but immersive experience is what it's all about these days, too. So
absolutely. Ellie, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, the point of technology is to make things more accessible. And for the vast driver, we would probably die. So I do think that this patent has utility, letting people have experiences that they couldn't otherwise have while remaining safe. So I think it's exciting and probably worthy of a patent.
Gerard. What are your comments?
Well, I'm interested to see, first of all, how this has ripple effects through the rest of the automotive industry, transportation industry over the next couple decades, because when one company innovates, you know, the rest are soon to follow and trying to improve on that design. I'm also curious to know some of those other patents, because you had mentioned that there are some other patents that they have coming down the pike. I'm interested to hear more about those.
Right. So they had one that measures the driver's psychophysical state in order to improve the driving experience.
They're looking at like your level of anxiety while you're driving, maybe if you're in training mode or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I also wonder if it has a setting where it's like, you know what, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should just go for a walk in nature, take some time, come back to this later. I'll still be here.
I agree. Yeah. They do have design patents, too. So if you look at their design patents, you can see their what their concept is for the newer design. So, yeah, they're really active in the space. And I guess, you know, they probably enforce them pretty rigidly, too, because they are so branded.
Absolutely. Kenya.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, it's always great to be a disruptor, as they say, in the space, right? Stay ahead of the curve, be innovative. I'm also curious to see what the other companies do in terms of like following suit to, you know, stay up with the competition. So it's always interesting when car guys start to, you know, kind of not reinvent the wheel, but like take that whole driving experience to another level. So it's cool. I think it's cool.
Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine what kind of software they might write for like a Prius driver, which would like probably be the opposite of driving fast, but just sort of this simulation where you're driving slow and you're maximizing gas mileage and all of those other things? I mean, it's possible. And there's probably some sort of market for that, right?
Yeah. And you make a good point in terms of like, what are the personality profiles of a Ferrari driver, right? Like, does that go into the implementation of the software, the invention? Like, just curious things.
Yeah, so many questions left unanswered. So I guess the takeaway from all of this is be ahead of the curve, be an innovator, and speak to your consumers, to your market, and be pushing the edge of technology. I think just the fact that they filed this patent puts Ferrari in a class where they are showing their innovation, right? Which is clearly part of their brand. But now it's time for our guest, John Livesay. He is the pitch whisperer. And as I mentioned earlier, he's a sales and storytelling keynote speaker. And he's going to be telling us about how stories can help you effectively promote your products and your brand. So welcome to the show, John. Tell us a little bit about storytelling and how you first sort of came to this as a way to help promote people and their brands and their products.
Well, we are wired for stories. It's literally in our DNA. You know, when we all lived in caves, we sat around and told stories by campfires. And now in big presentations, we sit around the globe with PowerPoints and listen to stories. And it actually accesses a different part of our brain. If you tell people, let me give you a presentation with a lot of data and facts and figures, your brain goes into this analytical mode and it can create a lot of analysis paralysis where people can't make a decision. But if you say, let me tell you a story, your brain kicks into a whole new mindset of, oh, maybe this will be entertaining and I can relax a little bit and go on a journey. And that's the mindset and the attitude you want when you're trying to give in somebody to give you funding, to get a new customer, to get someone to hire you. We're all selling ourselves all the time. And my whole experience has been that whoever tells the best story is in fact the one that gets the sale.
Oh, that's really interesting. So what kinds of stories are we talking about in the business world that can resonate with customers?
Your own story of origin. How did you decide to get into this particular area of law? What made you become a lawyer? You know, all those personal things about you that makes you stand out from every other lawyer that maybe does similar things. That story of origin is a great way to connect and build rapport as opposed to the old way of doing it, which is let's talk about the weather or sports. Because once you share your own story of origin, you can ask the other person you're talking to their story of origin. So it's a great bonding tool. And then the second story is your company story. How did you come up with the name? What are the values your company has? Do you have a story of your company's values in action? And then finally, turning a boring case study that's been around for decades into a case story. And the goal here is to make people see themselves in that story so that they want to go on the journey with you. And you're no longer being pushy, because stories pull people in. They literally make you magnetic and, most importantly, memorable.
Well, this is really exciting for me because I think, you know, this is a great way to communicate with people, and sharing stories is a great way to build relationships. And so I think this is just amazing. How personal do we get with our personal stories?
Well, I don't know that you need to go into any trauma, but
avoid trauma, number one. Okay.
Yes. But, you know, I've worked with some architects, for example, on their personal story of origins when they have a team slide, and everybody typically has a team slide when you're presenting why you should hire us versus our competitors. Entrepreneurs have team slides when they're trying to get funding. And so instead of just saying, you know, I went to school here, I've been doing this for this many years, one architect said, you know, when I was 11 years old, I played with Legos. Now I have a son that's 11. I still play with Legos with him. I'm still passionate about this. Someone else said, you know, when I was a young girl, most of my friends were begging their parents to take them to Disneyland to see Minnie Mouse. I used to beg my parents to take me downtown to see skyscrapers. And that's how she got interested in architecture.
Those are great because they're personal and they're authentic. And yes, it really does provide a basis for somebody to hire you.
Well, I'm looking at the notes that we have about you. You've done a lot. But what I find interesting is you have a book, The Sail is in the Tale. Mm-hmm. And you call it a business fable. I've never heard that term before.
Tale is spelled T-A-L-E, by the way, as in fairy tale. So a fable is a story. And this is a book, a story about storytelling. Instead of just giving you a business book with the facts and figures and things, I tell you a story of one particular salesperson struggling to make their quota, worried about getting fired, not getting promoted, and coming in second place against the competition, and how someone introduces the concept of storytelling to them and how it changes their career and their personal life. So you're on the journey with the characters while you're learning about storytelling at the same time.
That's fascinating. So are you selling that on Amazon now?
Yes.
We're going to go to Kenya for a question. Kenya.
Sure. So I love the whole case story terminology that you used early on. And I'm just curious, are there any necessary elements that are must-haves when you're crafting a story?
First of all, the goal is to make your stories three things: clear, concise, and compelling. If it's not clear and you confuse people, they're going to say no. If it's confusing, they just don't buy. If it's not concise, if you go on and on and on, there's no point to your story, everyone checks out. And finally, is it compelling? Do we feel something? Is there any tugging of our heartstrings in that story? And so when you tell a case story, the first part is the exposition, the who, what, where, when. You are literally painting a picture. Give us the specifics to get us into the story. Then you need a problem. And the stakes have to be high in the story or we don't care. And the better you describe a problem, the more people think you have their solution. And then the third part is the solution. And then the secret sauce is the resolution. What is life like for someone after they bought your product, hired you? Think about The Wizard of Oz. If that movie ended with Dorothy getting in the balloon to go back to Kansas, the end, that would be not a classic story. But because there's that resolution scene when she's in bed going, oh my God, there's no place like home, and you were there, and you were there. That's the resolution where she realizes the value of all these things that she took for granted. And so those four steps allow you to have a checklist of making sure you have all four steps in it. And then you can go back to your friends and say, was I clear? Could it be any more concise? Did it make you feel anything?
You are so right. I remember a year or two ago, our kids were telling us to watch these movies. And Richard and I watched a couple of these movies and they just like ended in the middle.
Right.
Like, don't watch that movie. You
know? Yeah, there's nothing more unsatisfying than something that just sort of stops.
So do people have different stories for different types of clients or different products?
Yes. Let's say you have three different kinds of ideal clients. If you're selling real estate, for example, you've got the newly married couple, it's their first home. You've got the divorcees, and you've got the retired couple that are downsizing. You don't say the same story to all three of those types of people. You need a specific story that they see themselves in. So however many different types of avatars, clients you have, you need the right story to the right person at the right time. Because remember, the goal is that those people see themselves in the story and want to go on the journey with you as their Sherpa or as Yoda.
That's good to know. So, and this takes a little practice too, right? I mean, you have to do a little rehearsing maybe in order to get the stories just right.
Yes. It's like anything. If you think of an athlete or somebody on Broadway, they don't just show up. There's lots of practice. There's lots of rehearsal. The same thing is true of your storytelling. It's an art form that you don't have to have this God-given talent to be good at, but like anything you get good at, to go to great, to become a black belt in it, does require practice and fine tuning. And I'm doing that all the time with my own stories that I give in front of sales audiences on, you know, did that story land right? Or is it memorable? Or is there something else I could do to make it even better?
How long should the story be? Like, if you're doing a 30-second pitch, I don't think you can really get a whole story in there, can you?
If the story's interesting and intriguing enough, you can get it done in 2 minutes or less. I can give you an example. You tell me if you felt if it was clear, concise, and compelling. So one of my clients has a device that makes surgeries go 30% faster. And they're telling that fact to doctors and hospitals and saying, we're not selling as many as we thought. It's so logical. Why aren't they buying? And I said, because people buy emotionally and then back it up with logic, even at this sophisticated level. So I asked some questions and we crafted this little case story that sounds like this. Imagine how happy Dr. Higgins was down at Long Beach Memorial 6 months ago using our equipment when he could go out to the patient's family in the waiting room an hour earlier than expected. And if you've ever waited for someone you love to come out of surgery, you know every minute feels like an hour. The doctor comes out and says, good news, the scope shows they don't have cancer, they're going to be fine. And then turned to the rep and said, you know what? That's why I became a doctor, for moments like this. Now that doctor tells that story to another doctor at another hospital who sees himself in the story and says, you know what? This is why I became a doctor. I want your equipment too. Yeah. And the client said, oh, that gives us chills. Not only are we not telling a story, it never occurred to us to make a patient's family a character in the story. So the actual story itself is relatively short.
John, you are a great storyteller. That was a well-told story. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you bring us to a really great point in terms of like the rate of response or the response in general. Like, what are some signs that the storytelling process is not going in the right direction? Like, are there any cues from the recipient that you should be on the lookout for?
Sure. Well, the first one is confusion. And you can see people, you know, if they haven't had too much Botox, you know, they make a face. Like, what? You know, their eyebrows move or they get that wrinkle between their eyebrows. Like, I'm confused. Or if you just see them checking their phone while you're telling the story, you've lost them, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of nonverbal cues that you can tell when people are no longer intrigued or compelled to want to know what's next. And so if you go back to that story and why that works, it has the exposition. You know the doctor's name. You know how long ago it was. You know where it was. We painted the picture. The problem, when they said to me, you know, we're solving a problem 30% faster. And I'm like, well, what does that even mean? So we did a lot of digging. Well, normally the surgery is 3 hours, 30% faster in this case makes it 2 hours. So there's an hour of savings. And you think, all right, who cares about that? Well, I guess the doctor's on his feet less. The hospital maybe makes more money. But then I went to the patient's family is really who feels the most. And you see how I pulled you into the story by saying, if you've ever had to wait. And even if you haven't, you could probably imagine how painful that would be. And then the solution is the doctor coming out. And here's a real tip to storytelling. When you're telling dialogue, make it in present tense. So we feel like we're in the story and we're eavesdropping in on the doctor saying, this is why I became a doctor, for moments like this. And that's what makes somebody else see themselves in the story so much.
Wow.
Well, John, you really have my head spinning now because I'm going through and thinking about all the pitches I should be doing and how I should be doing them different.
Well, you can go through your testimonials and your case studies that might be on your website and say, how can I turn these into case stories?
Well, good idea.
So how do you go about constructing a story then? If you're a novice at story creation, you know this is a good idea, but you're not a natural storyteller. Right. So how do you go about kind of just starting from scratch and pulling a story together?
So let's say, Richard, I was going to help you craft a story from scratch. I would ask you, Richard, who's your ideal client? Who hires you to come up with a patent? Are they an entrepreneur? Are they already successful? Where are they in their journey of raising money? And, you know, that they have the money to afford you. And you have an example of that person in mind? Yes. And you want more of those people? Yes. Okay. So let's create a story of how they found you, what their struggles were, what their fears were about not having a patent, somebody stealing their idea. You know, we'd craft the story of 6 months ago, a year ago, XYZ person came to me. They're in this field. And if you want more people in that field, describe their problems. What's keeping them up at night? What's the cost of not having a patent? All of those good things. And then what is your unique solution? What makes you different than everybody else who might be able? What made them pick you? Is it your responsiveness? Is it your experience? Is it your efficiency? Whatever their, you know, three reasons are. We add a resolution and say, now this entrepreneur not only has a thriving business, but that patent has, you know, deterred competitors, et cetera, et cetera.
John Livesay, The Pitch Whisperer, Passage to Profit, The Road to Entrepreneurship with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. And we'll be back right after this commercial break.
What are entrepreneurs' most valuable assets? Their passion and ideas. We can't protect your passion, but we can protect your ideas. Trust Gearhart Law to protect your ideas with premier patent, trademark, and copyright services. There's never been a better time to start your own business, contact us at GearHeartLaw.com. At Gearheart Law, we have years of experience protecting entrepreneurs' ideas and brands using patent, trademark, and copyright protection. So if you have a new consumer product, a new software application that you're planning to build or sell, or a brand or company name that you want to protect, contact the experts at Gearheart Law, www.gearheartlaw.com. Don't let the wrong protection strategy ruin your business. All of our attorneys are passionate about protection and are licensed and qualified to represent you before the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Don't start your project without calling us first. Contact Gearheart Law on the web at GearHeartLaw.com. Together, we can change the world. This ad has been read by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearheart.
And our special guest, John Livesay, the pitch whisperer. Oh my gosh. And I'm Elizabeth Gearheart. I'm here with Richard Gearheart and our media maven, Kenya Gibson. And we are going to continue with John. He is just a wealth of knowledge and creativity. So, Kenya, do you want to start with the first question for John?
Sure. John, we have a lot of business people that listen to the show, entrepreneurs, startups, and say, you know, someone's starting off in marketing or branding their business for the first time, and they're struggling to kind of find the meat to their story. What advice would you give to them to integrating their story into their marketing strategy?
Well, I think the number one thing is you have to first realize that the riches are in the niches. We've heard that before. And that don't try to be everything to everybody. And once you come up with a hook, in my case, the pitch whisperer, that intrigues people to go, wait, I know what a dog whisperer is. I've even heard of a horse whisperer. What the heck is a pitch whisperer? How'd you get that name? It intrigues them to want to know more. And that's really what good marketing does. Is it takes us from just being seen as a commodity to, oh, someone's got an interesting hook here. And also the ability to boil down what you do into six words is a great exercise. In my case, if you go to my website, which is just my name, johnlivesay.com, you'll see it says, tell better stories, win more sales. That's my brand promise.
What about people that just can't do it? Some people, no matter how much you tell them, okay, you've got 30 seconds for this, they just can't do it.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, I do have that's a basic elevator pitch. And let's agree right here and now on Passage to Profit that we're going to kill the elevator pitch. It's officially dead. And we're going to turn it into the elevator story. Because an elevator pitch is traditionally robotic. It's boring and nobody remembers it. So we're going to fix all those things with the elevator story. And so I have a 5-step process. It's really easy. Elizabeth, you and I can do this together.
Okay.
And we start, the first step is you say something conversational, of a phrase such as, you know how this summer is predicted to be hotter than last summer? Anything at all. You know how is the first step. When you start a sentence with that.
We're all taking notes in the studio, by the way, so please continue.
Great. This is a conversation. Oh, so you know how there's a lot of people out there with great ideas, but they're worried about their competition stealing it, right? Or, you know, right, so you, right. Whatever it is. So you describe who you help is the second step. The third step is what problem do they have? So I just gave you an example of all three steps in one sentence. You know how there are so many entrepreneurs out there who are struggling to make sure that their idea doesn't get stolen and they know they need a patent, but they don't know where to start. Most elevator pitches is, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a this, I'm a tech person. You're talking about yourself first. The first three steps are not about you at all. And then the fourth step is how you enter and solve that problem. And then the fifth step is like, what is life like for them afterwards? So my elevator story is, you know how there's so many sales and tech teams out there in place and they don't know what to do to win more new business? Well, I'm known as the pitch whisperer. People bring me in as their keynote speaker. I teach them how to become revenue rock stars by telling the best story.
Wow. That's great.
It's so funny how you talk about how to learn how to do pitches, John, because I'm going to a small business expo in New York, and they're really pretty good because they send you emails telling you all sorts of things you need to know. Like, in one of the emails is how to craft a pitch. And so I went through and did all the steps they said and read my pitch, and it was one of the most boring things I've ever read in my life.
Remember, the whole goal is it doesn't matter what they ask you. It's that you've planted little seeds to intrigue people enough to want to ask you something. So you have a conversation and not a monologue.
So, John, just to switch gears a little bit, I notice here that you have a TEDx talk and it's called Be the Lifeguard of Your Own Life. And it has over 1 million views. Did you talk about stories or was that something else?
Well, I talked about how, unlike in a hurricane, if you don't evacuate, no one's going to come rescue you in your career when things go down. This was before the pandemic, and I think we've all experienced the need to be our own lifeguard during the pandemic or anything else that causes disruption in our life, whether it's a job loss in my particular case, getting laid off, a divorce, or 101 other things that happen to us in our personal and business career, that we have to figure out how to be our own lifeguard. And so I talk about the need to be resilient and get out of your comfort zone and to get off the self-esteem roller coaster. No matter what's happening to you, your self-esteem, oh, I just made a big sale, I feel good. Oh, I just got laid off, I feel bad. Oh, I just lost a sale, I feel bad. Up and down, that when you get to be your own lifeguard, you realize who I am is bigger than any one thing happening to me at any one time. That identity stays the same.
I have to admit, I am sometimes a victim of the roller coaster. Something went well today, tomorrow something doesn't go so well. And, you know, I would love to understand some of the skills that you develop.
One of the easiest ways to get off the self-esteem roller coaster is to think of yourself, Richard, as the movie director of your own life. And you can zoom out and look at what's happening as a movie director. You can yell cut, you can change the location, you can change the cast. And there's a tool I've created called the 555 method. Let's say somebody cuts you off in traffic. Now, some people lose their mind over that. I say, well, will this matter in 5 minutes? Literally ask yourself that question. How about 5 hours from now? How about 5 days from now? If you're still upset because somebody cut you off in traffic 5 days from now, you got a problem. So when you zoom out like that, you realize that it's up to me to decide whether I judge this as a horrible thing that I'm going to obsess about for 5 hours. You're in charge of how long you want to obsess about it. And so I bring this into a lot of companies' cultures, and they start cheering each other on. They're like, okay, we're going to 555 this. We all worked really hard on this. We didn't get it, but we're only going to complain about it for 5 hours, and then we're not going to bring it up ever again. I wish I had this tool created for myself when my dad died about 10 years ago, because 5 days from now, I was still pretty devastated. But you can 555 again. So how about 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years from now? If I could go back in time to my younger self, I would say, 5 years from now, you're still going to miss him, but I promise you, you won't be this sad. So the 555 works not only in being more resilient, getting off that self-esteem roller coaster in your career, but also in your personal life. Just ask yourself, will this matter in 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 days? Usually by 5 days, the majority of things that happen to us, they're in our rearview mirror by then because we've got something else to be upset about.
What if it does last longer than 5 minutes? Like, okay. I mean, if, especially when you're a business owner, right? Like you go to sleep with worries at night and some things are a little longer than 5 minutes. So what do you do if that's the case?
Do it again like I did with my dad's death. 5 months, 5 years from now, this company's either going to be bought or sold or have an IPO, or whatever's bothering me now will not bother me this much at 5 years from now. Just keep zooming out until you get some perspective and start to think about, gosh, I remember when I was so upset that I put an offer down on a house that I didn't get it. And then 2 months later, I found something I liked even better. Mm-hmm. So just remember that whatever you think is horrific at the moment doesn't have perspective on it. So zoom out and use the 555.
John, what is your favorite story? What story do you like to tell about yourself, about your life, about your career? What's your favorite story?
One of my favorite stories is when I was being interviewed by Anthem Insurance, and they were asking me a lot of questions, and they were considering me versus two other speakers. And then I asked them a question, which I would want to have everybody have in their toolbox. Future-paced people, what else is going to happen? If I'm selected as your speaker at the opening of this, what else is going on in the rest of those 2 days? And they go, oh, well, we're going to have an improvisation session. And the audience is going to shout out objections and people on stage are going to role play. And I said, what if I stayed after my keynote and would whisper in people's ears something that they don't get stuck in the objection? And they said, oh my God, that'd be amazing. We never even considered having the speaker do that. And that's what made them hire me. And then I told this story to Inc. magazine and they go, well, gosh, you're like the pitch whisperer, aren't you? Because people kept saying, I wish you could be in my ear all the time when I'm out in the field. So that's how I became known as the pitch whisperer. And it's one of my favorite stories of how that all came about, by going above and beyond just giving the minimum. When you think about how else can I be of service, in this case, staying and doing this improvisation session with the audience, then you become memorable. And who knows, it might even create your own brand tag from it.
That's really great.
I had one client say, we are so tired of coming in second place. You know, we put all this time and money into our presentation against a competitor, and time after time, we're just coming in second place. And unlike the Olympics, there's no medal in business for second place. So once we crafted the storytelling of the case stories and their own personal stories, they wrote me and they said, we have won 3 new business pitches in a row. And the only thing we're doing differently now is telling these stories. So it is a real game changer.
Passage to Profit, Road to Entrepreneurship with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart, our media maven, Kenya Gibson, and our incredible guest, John Livesay, the Pitch Whisperer. It'll be on our podcast tomorrow, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Lisa Askles, the Inventress, founder, CEO, and president of Inventing A to Z. I've been inventing products for over 38 years. Hundreds of products later and dozens of patents. I help people develop products and put them on the market from concept to fruition. I bring them to some of the top shopping networks in the world. QVC, HSN, eVine Live, and retail stores. Have you ever said to yourself, someone should invent that thing? Well, I say, why not make it you? If you want to know how to develop a product from concept to fruition the right way, contact me, Lisa Askles, the Inventress. Go to inventingatoz.com, inventingatoz.com. Email me, lisa@inventingatoz.com. Treat yourself to a day chock full of networking, education, music, shopping, and fun. Go to my website, inventingatoz.com.
Passage to Profit continues with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
It's time for Power Move. Hi, Kenya.
Hello.
What's going on with Power Move?
Oh, lots of things. So our Power Move for today is actually going to be opera singer Eric Green. He's a singer, he's an actor, and he's a performer. He graduated from Juilliard, and he always dreamed of performing at the Metropolitan Opera. So I had an opportunity to interview him for the first episode of Power Move last week, and he's actually going to be playing the story of Benny Kid Paray, who was a boxer who actually experienced the first televised death, right? Wow. So super tragic.
Wow. Wow.
The story does turn around, however, because Benny's son offers redemption to Emil Griffith, who was the boxer that injured him in the fight. And it's just, it's a tragic story, but it's a story that offers redemption. So I had the opportunity to sit down with Eric and learn all about his full circle story of like what it takes to be a champion, overcome, and really achieve what you want to achieve in life. So he's our Power Move for today.
Well, that sounds really great. Where can people find your podcast?
So right now it's going to be on Apple Podcasts.
On to Elizabeth and her projects. Get us up to date.
Well, I am going to try to craft my pitch for Blue Streak using John's methods. So here I go. So, you know how small businesses are always trying to rise above the noise in the media, digital media especially? It's hard. And always looking for new products, it seems like there's new products coming all the time. Well, my startup, Blue Streak Directory, shows short videos of business owners showcasing their authenticity and really connecting with people who are looking for a service provider online. And it's in a very organized format. It's a directory, so it's easy to search. So I feel like this is the next generation of business search for small business owners.
I think that was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. What does John think?
I, you know, for your first attempt, you are a very good listener and a quick learner. That's my first feedback. I love how you describe who it's for, their problem. Always when you describe a problem, if you insert the word struggle, that always makes it even more feeling. And you're very clear about, you know, your company is Blue Streak Directory and you're creating videos that connect with people. The one thing we can improve it on to take it from good to great is that resolution. It's not about small business owners no longer drowning in a sea of sameness because their ideal clients can find them and connect with them thanks to the Blue Streak Directory.
So part of the magic of storytelling is really finding the right words too, right? I mean, finding words that are expressive and make you feel something.
So I have to touch briefly on my next project because this is really a From the Heart project. So I have a podcast with Danielle Woolley, the Jersey Pod Cats. And it's about cats. We started the podcast to bring people together to help their animals. And we've had different people on the podcast. It's really a lot of fun. And I think we're building a community and people are helping each other with animal advice.
That's great.
Now we have Gerard Longo with Underground Music Collective. And it started from your podcast, The Quinn Spin, right? And grew from there. So tell us all about it. Welcome to the show and tell us all about it.
Well, first, thanks for having me on. And I'm going to take a page from John's book. So you know how most independent musicians you know will label themselves as a singer-songwriter from anywhere USA? Underground Music Collective exists to empower them past that and to empower them to tell their stories, share their truth, give them the resources they need. And yeah, it did all start with the Quinn spin. I actually used to work in New York City doing marketing communications internally for a big Fortune 500 company, and I just needed an outlet, right? And I did college radio. One night I had a weekend to myself, and I was just listening to my old college radio show. And I just got this like supercharge of purpose. I want to do this. I want to have an impact. And I want to make this about independent music. Because there are so many artists out there of all genres, of anywhere in the country, not just in the major markets, who are talented, who have all the tools they need, you know, in terms of talent and ability, but maybe don't have the resources available to them. And so we started by interviewing them. We started by featuring them on the show, featuring their music. You know, we had a run at the beginning of where it was just the Quinn spin, where it ran for about 2 years, from 2013 to 2015. So we're coming up on 10 years of the podcast. There's a lot of lineage, a lot of equity built into that. And then around beginning of 2016, I had actually relocated to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I thought, why don't I start a blog and have the Quinn spin be a part of it? And so Bethlehem is in this area called the Lehigh Valley, about an hour north of Philly, beautiful area. I consider it home. And so I started a blog called Lehigh Valley Underground, where we reviewed local releases, went to local shows. We started partnering with local festivals, putting on our own events, you know, partnering with organizations in the area to just build awareness of mostly the original music that was being created in the scene. And we'd start to dive into some other forms of media as they became adjacent, right? So that's 2016, 2017, 2018. We're putting on events, winning local awards, that kind of thing. But then I started to kind of just feel this pull to level up in my own life and level up for the platform, because I felt like there was industry knowledge that was still out there for me so I could build the best platform possible. And so I was actually thinking about returning to New York, but I had some friends sell me on Nashville. And so end of 2018, it was your classic moving to Nashville story, me and whatever would fit my car, my little Nissan Versa, just trucking on down about 800 or so miles from Bethlehem to Nashville. We rebranded to Underground Music Collective, and the idea was I didn't want to put Nashville in the name. I didn't want to localize it this time because I wanted it to be accessible to the larger independent music and creative community. I wanted to provide opportunities for people from Nashville and build those pipelines out to markets, of course, like New York and LA, but also like a Bethlehem or like a Spokane, Washington, a Little Rock, Arkansas, because there are talented people everywhere doing amazing work who don't necessarily have the resources, have the industry knowledge. So, of course, we're still doing reviews, features. Quinn Spin comes out every Thursday. We still do new episodes, put out a UMC 20 Spotify playlist every week, but also ramping up our educational content over the years. We have a Wednesday Wisdom series where we have industry experts come through and just share their insights in a weekly column. It's a different one every week. They rotate. You know, we have a team of four or five experts, and they each take a week per month. We've been doing a lot of virtual panels where we touch on a specific topic or genre, segment of the industry, and we discuss with people who are in that segment their challenges, their successes, the lessons they've learned. We just launched a creative agency as well, where we have a team of verified creators who can help you with all of your creative projects, photography, videography, graphic design, web design, social media. We even have some music instructors on our team, so you can book them through us. Projects completed, you get great work that helps you achieve your artistic vision. And then from there, we get to feature it through the platform and give you that little extra boost.
This is fantastic. And it's, I think, a unique approach because so much of music is also the stories of behind the music and of the musicians.
Yes.
And fans just eat that up. So What kind of genres do you work with? Is it very specific or is it general?
We're open. My mindset is that the rising tide raises all boats and everything's an art form in its own way, you know? So, and my personal taste, like, I'm across the board. So it's easy for me to build a platform that supports varying genres. You know, I think the common thread is, you know, as independent musicians, as independent creatives, as entrepreneurs, we're all building from zero, right? Mm-hmm. We're all starting from nothing. The podcast itself, which was The Point of Singularity, literally started in my childhood bedroom with a laptop and a USB mic. and then we went to the practice rooms of our community college, you know, once my buddies came in to co-host with me, where we did community theater and we recorded there. That was our point of zero. That was our point of origin. And now there's this entire ecosystem. And I want to help empower other musicians, other creatives, regardless of their genre, to do the same thing because it's possible. If we can do it, like, anybody can. And that's really what I want people to know.
Well, I think it's really important what you're doing because there needs to be a place where people can go find out what they need to know without having to maybe pay a ton of money for it or this, that, or the other thing. And you've got that perfect thing there. And also you're building a community. I think people need that.
Absolutely. Community. I'm so glad you use that word community because it's the heart of what we do. It's the central point. Like I said, the rising tide raises all boats. And there's a certain point you can get to by yourself, like starting the thing, but like you need those people around you. You need that support system. You need a team around you. And who better to have than people who have been in that same boat? And, you know, that includes people who are more experienced than you, better versed in the exact things that you're going through, as well as folks that you can help lead the way for and help light the way who aren't as experienced.
Gerard, what can people expect when they go to your website, which is the undergroundmusiccollective.com?
Yes.
Right. So when they log onto your site, what will they see? What will they experience?
Yes. So if you go to undergroundmusiccollective.com, you will see a landing page with two tiles. The left one goes to the blog, which is what brought us to the dance, all the review content, interview content, features, that kind of thing. On the right is a creative agency. You click that and you can see all of our verified creators. You can dive into their portfolios. You can reach out to book a consultation with them as well. I'm on there as well. I'm an artist coach. That is a role that I've adopted here. You can find the resources you need no matter what you're looking for. If you're looking to have your music featured and your story told through our platform, you can do that. Click to the left. If you're looking to enlist our services, click to the right. And of course, at the top, there's a nav bar where you can take an even deeper dive if you want. We actually also just launched an affiliate marketing program, which is another way to get involved with us too. So there are so many ways to get involved. It's just a matter of what you're looking for and what's right for you at the time.
That's really good. I was going to ask you, is your content subscription-based?
No, our content's not subscription-based. It's open source on the internet. So you can go, you can read the articles, you can listen to the podcast. We're on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple, all of those. And you can go and engage with us. You know, we're very open. You know, we're building our team, and our team, you know, is very much like-minded in the sense of we want to build community, we want to help, we want to do good work for people for the right reasons. And so we're not closed off. We're not exclusive in terms of a subscription. Right now, it's open and ready to serve the independent artist community.
I'm interested in the services that you offer and the universe of creator services that you offer to artists.
Absolutely. So this was something I take on client services myself. I'm a photographer. I handle social media for folks. I'm an artist coach, like I said. And I got to the point over the winter where, like, I found my own bandwidth running low, you know, because, like, you're taking on, you know, all these individual projects, plus you're also trying to build this thing, plus, you know, you've got other irons in the fire, right? And so I started thinking, well, I also get asked to do things that I don't necessarily do, like videography. I'm not a videographer, but I'm like, what if we had people on the team who were skilled and disciplined in those specific areas, right? And so this was a moment where I got out of bed at midnight, ripped the covers off, and I'm brainstorming, jotting things down till 3 a.m. And what came out of it was the creative agency at UMC with our team of verified creators. Over the next few months from there, what I did was I just refined it, ran it by some people that I trust. Again, the importance of having that team, those people who can help guide you. And then started recruiting folks, you know, meeting with them individually, one-on-one, like, hey, you know, not only what do you do and how good are you at what you do, but what makes you tick? What gets you out of bed to do it in the morning? You know, because we want people that are going to provide value, but we also want people who are going to do it while helping the artist achieve their vision. And so we launched that on May 1st of this year, and we're really excited about it. You know, we've, of course, gotten a lot of great feedback so far, you know, not only in the process of leading up to launch, but since. And just really excited to serve in any way that we can.
Excellent. So, John.
Well, yes. Gerard, you're creating this wonderful place for people to share their stories, and it's an outlet. And so the resolution could be, so now don't let the music that's inside of you die.
Ooh.
You know, it's interesting you say that, John, because I love it. And as I was listening to your segment, I was thinking, what is our resolution? And I was thinking the same thing, like, ooh, I got to go back and I got to fine tune that. So thank you for that. I'm going to make sure that gets jotted down and that we implement that, because that's fantastic. I appreciate it.
So who are some of the favorite artists that you've talked with over the years?
I got a couple. There is an artist by the name of Katie Cole, who's an Australian-born Americana artist. She's here in the States now. She actually is the touring keyboardist, I believe, now with the Smashing Pumpkins. And I had the chance to catch her at a little venue called The Basement when I first moved to Nashville. And she was my first long-form interview in Nashville. And such an amazing story. I mean, from being from Australia, playing the local scene there, you know, growing up, and then just finding her way into the United States, using the internet, using the powers of technology to find the people that she wanted to work with and getting to work with every single one of them. Hers is an inspiring story. Katie Cole is one. There's another one I want to give a shout out just off the top of my head who's I just think is really compelling and fantastic. There's this artist by the name of Arreis who's out of Chicago, but she is now based in Nashville. You spell it A-R-R-E-I-S. And she's got like the dark glam pop thing going on. But not only is she just a fantastic artist conceptually in terms of what she puts forth, she has a new album called Vices, which pretty much takes you through the nine circles of hell, which is a really interesting, like,
wow. Is that something I even want to watch? It sounds very intense.
It is intense, but it's presented in a way that's meant to empower, you know, and it's meant to empower you past your vices. And not only that, but like speaking with her, she was a recent guest on the Quinn Spin, and she lives that way. She lives to empower. She lives to serve through her art and make it about something bigger than herself. And she's definitely one to watch. Super talented, just super good person, amazing community builder, and I'm really excited to see where she goes.
Who's somebody who you'd like to have on the platform who you haven't had the opportunity to bring on yet?
Ooh, okay. So my favorite band on earth is a Canadian band called Our Lady Peace. I've loved them for years since high school. Their music's definitely got me through a lot in my life. And Rain Maida, who's the front man, he's my favorite songwriter ever. And we had a chance to meet him actually at a show years ago in Niagara Falls, but I would love to actually sit down and talk to him on the show because not only do I enjoy his music, but I just really enjoy the perspective behind it and the way that he has been able to just like capture these very specific things from his own life and make them so accessible to the listeners to where like even if he's talking about something completely different in his songs, like you can listen to that and assign your own meaning to it. He's not telling you what to think, but I'm interested to dive into some of that process as well and just really get his perspective on the journey. I mean, they've been a band for more than 30 years at this point. So to get that perspective on the journey, how the industry's changed, he's also big into Web3 and NFTs and that kind of thing. And just where he sees the industry headed, I think is really compelling. And that'd be a great conversation.
That's great.
Well, that raises an interesting question. So being in the industry yourself, where do you see the industry going? What kinds of trends are you noticing that might be interesting for our listeners?
Well, Web3 is all about building community, right? And it's about giving ownership back to the consumer, back to the listener, back to the artist. More and more and more emphasis on that, you know? And so you're seeing more artists, you're seeing more entities have Discord servers, you're seeing more get into the world of NFTs, you're seeing more people find ways to directly build community without like a middleman or a middle organization. And I see that only increasing. I think AI, of course, is going to be something that plays a large role in the future, you know, just in terms of how we're able to automate certain things. So artists can get back to focusing on art, you know, so creatives can get focused on being creative, you know, and the administrative work, you know, all the things that take up so much of our days, you know, don't have to take up so much of our days anymore, you know, which is only going to open the door for us to create and collaborate more.
I will say hallelujah to that. I hate the administrative. How do people find you?
If you go to undergroundmusiccollective.com, that's our central hub. Instagram's our main social channel as well, at UMC Nashville. You can also follow the Quinn Spin on Instagram at Quinn Spin Official, two N's in Quinn, two N's in Spin. So that's where you'll find our daily review content. Sometimes it'll be a review of a single, an EP, an album. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll be an episode of the Quinn Spin, whether that's an interview, whether that's a solo mission, whether I invite our OG family back on Zoom to just shoot the breeze, take us back to the roots. Wednesday Wisdom appears there as well. So those weekly columns where we have our industry experts chiming in on a particular topic appears there. And anything else, any other feature content, announcements, live event announcements. It's another thing that we do in Nashville under our Nash Live brand, which we're going to start expanding out later this year, you know, maybe in other markets, is we do put on live shows with independent artists, give them the opportunity to perform, earn some money while they perform, and build their audiences.
Well, congratulations to you. This is one of the most unique projects that we've had on the program. Mm-hmm. And it's very creative, and I really like where you're going with this. So we certainly wish you all the success.
Appreciate that. It's a labor of love, a lot of work, and it's only just getting started.
Okay. We have something that I think almost all of us need. I certainly need this. It is called InstaFloss by Ellie Packhouse, and it is the new way to floss your teeth. And when they're available, which is going to be, I guess, next month, I want one. So, Ellie, tell us all about it.
I'm going to run right out and order one right after this. So,
well, you know, that's exactly why we spent the last 5 years creating InstaFloss, which is the first device that can properly and painlessly floss all of your teeth in just 10 seconds. You can floss in 0 seconds if you don't care about the results by just not flossing. So what InstaFloss does is we're the first device to use 12 different jets to floss many areas of your mouth simultaneously, which is why we're able to floss each tooth 4 times in just 10 seconds. So we could do it not just quicker, but also more properly. For most people, this is the vast majority of Americans, they stumble into one of these three, or perhaps all of these three problems when they need to floss. So the first thing is they don't even want to floss because it takes their nighttime routine and it makes it take twice as long. And so you're there, you're tired, you don't want to do it. They're like, okay, fine. Let's say that's 30% of Americans. They just never do it. They don't get over that hump. The next percent of Americans, they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. However, it's a terrible experience. It's painful. It hurts. They bleed, etc. And then even if you take the time and even if you put up with the pain, by the time you go to your dentist and you're all proud, oh, yes, I floss my teeth. They look at your teeth and they're like, you're not doing such a great job. Because the sad fact is that even of those, and this is only about 30% of Americans who regularly floss, almost all of them are doing it incorrectly. And when you look at studies, when dentists floss you versus you floss yourself, it's night and day difference. And flossing is so integral for all of our health, not just our oral health, but also our cardiovascular health. Anything that can be made worse from inflammation is made worse via the inflammation in your mouth. So we really had to solve this. And that's why we spent 5 years creating a device that does it for you. You put it in your mouth and in 10 seconds, it flosses each tooth 4 times with adjustable water jets that are far less painful.
I went online and looked at this. And what I really liked about it, you put a little train over your teeth. So it encompasses all the teeth at once and you just slide it across. I have tried literally everything. And I think that what you have is going to be the answer.
How is it different from a water pick?
Imagine a water pick is a manual single jet that you have to trace all of your gum line and you have to do it at a 90 degree angle to get it correctly. This takes longer than string. You almost certainly are not getting it at a 90 degree angle to the gum line, especially on the inside of your teeth. That's very difficult to do and it will make a mess. So imagine 12 water picks that are aimed for you that we assure you get 100% correct coverage and we floss each tooth 4 times for you. So we take the guesswork, we take the error out of flossing. And we can do that in 10 seconds.
That sounds really great.
So there's many advantages to using water jets instead of string. Number one, you can get into tighter places. Water molecules are smaller than string molecules. So you can get in between tighter teeth. You could get underneath the gum line deeper all the way around the tooth, which you can't do with string. And the other big advantage of this is that the jets are adjustable. So you want to floss to the ability of your gums. And with string, there's only sort of one setting. And therefore, you're going to bleed and you're going to need to develop the callus, you know, essentially to be able to handle that. Here, we say this is a floss that should never be painful. Effective, but never painful.
Kenya?
So is this good for people who are not like great flossers or people who have a hard time like incorporating flossing into their daily routine?
It's probably good for a number of different people for different reasons. Number one, if you think flossing takes too long, this is definitely for you because we cut it down from 2 to 7 minutes all the way down to 10 seconds. If flossing hurts, this is for you because the pressure is adjustable. If you're not getting good results with your flossing, this is for you because we managed to do it for you. So we aim correctly. And if you have motor function disabilities, say you have trouble handling straight implements, as children do, the elderly do, anybody with motor function disabilities does, then this can also be a very useful tool for you.
That's
excellent.
Great.
John, do you have any other comments or questions?
I think the big takeaway for me is that all of us are struggling at one point or another with not feeling good enough in all kinds of areas of our lives. I'm not a good enough speaker. I'm not a good enough friend. I'm not a good enough whatever. And wouldn't it be great to start your day every day knowing that you gave yourself an A+ in this, that everything you're doing is that I know I'm not flossing well enough or long enough and I hate it and then blah, but boom, now I can't wait to go to the dentist and get that A+ report card because I know this is making me feel good enough and starting my day with that mindset.
Ooh, I like that.
What a very positive spin on things. And I do want to point out, too, that Ellie has amazing teeth. So for our amazing white teeth. So you should definitely check out his website and look for him because he has got the whitest teeth I've ever seen.
Well, that was one thing I wanted to ask Ellie. Could you put a little bit of peroxide in there to kind of help whiten your teeth and help your gums? Or do you not suggest that?
We don't suggest that. It is possible that there is a whitening fluid we could put into it. However, that is the next stage of our development.
I would encourage anybody listening to this to go watch the video because you're not really going to understand what this is unless you watch the video. And then you're going to go, oh my gosh, I want one. It's instafloss.com. Where are you selling them now?
Currently, it's exclusively on our website because we are going to be launching in June of 2023. So if you are listening to this before then, wait for then. If you're listening to this in the future, you could go to instafloss.com.
Great.
Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship. We're going to go take a break, but this has been the most amazing show. If you missed it, listen to the podcast. I strongly urge you to. And we will be right back.
There's never been a better time to start your own business. The opportunities are infinite and only limited by your imagination and enthusiasm. At Gearheart Law, we believe the most successful companies all have one thing in common. They start with a solid foundation first. Gearheart Law has years of experience protecting entrepreneurs' ideas and brands using patent, trademark, and copyright protection. So if you have a new consumer product, a new software application that you're planning to build or sell, or a brand or company name that you want to protect, contact the experts at www.gearheartlaw.com. Our professionals will create a custom strategy designed to fit your needs and your budget. All of our attorneys are passionate about protection, licensed, and qualified to represent you before the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Don't start your project without calling us first. Visit gearheartlaw.com. Together, we can change the world. Visit gearheartlaw.com. This ad has been read by a non-attorney spokesperson.
It's Passage to Profit.
Alicia Morrissey is our program coordinator here on Passage to Profit, and she's also a fantastic jazz vocalist. You can scroll to the bottom of the PassageToProfitShow.com website and check out her album.
And just to put the pièce de résistance on the, whatever you put the pièce de résistance on, we're going to have Elizabeth now with Elizabeth's question. And she's going to be asking a question of all of our guests.
Right. And this is in honor of our guest today, John Livesay. So I'm going to start with him. What's a powerful story that you've heard that's convinced you you might want to buy a product or hire somebody for a service?
Well, when I was starting my own podcast, I was interviewing a lot of other people who produced it for me. And Podcast Cola said, we take all the stress out of it. Just put your interviews in Dropbox and we'll promote it, get it out there. And so that concept of making my life easier and saving me time, those two things combined was the compelling story that made me say, oh, this is the company for me.
Gerard Longo, Underground Music Collective. What's a story that you heard that made you want to buy something or get a service from somebody?
I'm going to echo a lot of what was just said here because when hiring and putting together my team, I'm looking for people that can help keep this whole vision of Underground Music Collective focused on the big picture, right? Because going from solopreneur to company owner has its challenges, not the least of which is you're still in the day-to-day while you're also trying to build a company that is much further reaching than you, right? And so hiring the folks that I've hired, you know, to this point, my colleague Brandy Sims and her whole team, you know, they've kept me so focused and accountable to the bigger picture, and not just in the sense of media relations, that kind of thing, but also like, hey, what's coming down the pike as far as these projects? Here's what we need from you to push things forward. And it has made such a huge difference in the growth of the company. So going back to that idea of community, team, if somebody can come in and hit the areas that you're missing and do the things that you can't or that you're too tied up in other things to get to, like, it's going to make such a huge difference for you.
Excellent. I agree. So Ellie Packows with InstaFloss. Who convinced you to buy something with their story?
When we were building the team for InstaFloss, I remember even with the marketing team, you know, I was asking all sorts of questions to the potential candidates, and everybody was giving like, oh, this would be better. We need to do this. We need to do that. And, you know, sort of puffering up their skills. And then I was interviewing one candidate And he says, you know, I honestly have no idea the answer to any of these questions, but here's how I would find out. And that's what I knew.
Excellent. That's a good point. Kenya Gibson.
Masterclass. Have you heard of Masterclass before? It's a storytelling platform, but it's also like education around like a specific skill set that you want to learn. So if you want to be a better communicator, it'll give you like a conversation or a tutorial from like Robin Roberts.
Oh,
so
cool.
Those things to me are like very valuable. And I feel like they have a very compelling storytelling piece that they use to suck people in.
Great. This has been so much fun. I love this. We had as our guest, John Livesay, the Pitch Whisperer, and you can find him at johnlivesay.com. That's JohnLivesay.com.
He has a book too, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. He has a book.
John, where can we find your book?
It's on Amazon. Either you can read it or if you prefer to listen to me narrate it. I have different voices because there's different characters. The Sale is in the Tale, T-A-L-E, on Amazon, Audible, or in the book.
Oh, that sounds like fun. And then we had Gerard Longo with Underground Music Collective. And you can find out more at undergroundmusiccollective.com. If you're a creator, he's building a community and he's bringing everybody together to rise all boats. And then we had Ellie Packows with InstaFloss, instafloss.com. If you hate flossing your teeth, this is going to make your life so much better. And then if you do have intellectual property needs, patents, trademarks, copyrights, Richard Gerhardt of Gerhardt Law, G-E-A-R-H-A-R-T-L-A-W, has been practicing intellectual property law for many more years than we care to disclose. And he can help you with all your intellectual property needs.
And also, I want to do a shout out to Kenya, who's just starting her new podcast,
Thank you.
Power Move. And it can be heard on Apple Podcasts. So we're looking forward to that. Before we go, I'd like to thank the Passage to Profit team, Noah Fleischman, our producer, Alicia Morrissey, our program director, and Mark Wilson, our syndication manager. Our podcast can be found tomorrow anywhere you find your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gerhardt Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gerhardtlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.